This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting. Alondra Villarreal is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. You can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Before we start with Trina Edwards, I do want to note today's story, as it should be, top of the paper, The Advocate, the newspaper of record. After a state trooper was found dead inside his patrol car Saturday evening in Prairieville and his alleged killer finally landed in custody following a day-long manhunt, Louisiana leaders mourn the loss of a longtime law enforcement officer and U.S. Army veteran, Master Trooper Adam Gobert. He'd served with state police for 19 years when his life was cut short. The suspected gunman is 31-year-old Matthew Mirey, who is in custody. But a tragedy, and we wish the best under the most awful circumstances to Master Trooper Gobert and his family and friends. And we're joined on a happier note on Columbus Day by Trina Edwards, but she too has embraced a tragedy of sorts. It's always tragic when a person dies, and especially a giant of Louisiana lore. And we're talking about a man who was a major national figure, 16 years governor of Louisiana, U.S. congressman, state senator. He was a man who spent most of his life serving the people, and it started with him being a U.S. veteran during the World War II ending. His name, as we know, is Edwin Washington Edwards. He lived almost 94 years, and he died 3 months ago tomorrow. And Trina has some developments regarding what's happened since his passing, but for those unfamiliar with their backstory, they met when Edwin Edwards was a prisoner at Oakdale in his final year, and Trina went to see him. And why don't we start there with you, Trina Edwards, the pride of Broadmoor High School, class of 96.
Go Bucks.
She graduated the year that Edwin Edwards finished his last term in office. So in 1996, when she graduated, was 17, and Edwin Edwards was leaving office at that time, and he would have been, let's see, he was born in 1927, he would have been 68. But as you get older, the differences in ages are not as profound, because on a percentage basis, you start catching up. But still, 51 years is a big difference. But nonetheless, it was a romance for the ages, and it began in prison. And how in the world did you even end up in prison as a visitor?
Well, I actually wrote him a letter. I found his book when I was shopping for another book, actually, and I became interested, not really because of the book, but because of the reaction I would get when I would go places. I was in school at the time, and so I would take it with me if I was at lunch by myself and read, and people would come up and always have the greatest stories. And so I never intended to date or marry him, but I was just interested in meeting him because so many people had so many great things to say, and I didn't really know very much about him because I was a lot younger during his heyday, so...
And he was on this program shortly after he was released and indicated that before he agreed to see you, he wanted to see a picture. Is that true? A photograph?
He didn't ask for a picture, but a picture was shown to him, yes.
And he said?
That he made room on his visiting list.
And you came every visitation day, didn't you?
I did.
You were living in Alexandria, and Oakdale's about a half-hour drive.
I think so, yeah.
So you went to see him, and a romance bloomed. And he appeared to be very content with his marriage. And I know at a certain age, when you get old, things start wearing out. And you were with him during some times that were tough at the end. But how was that experience, seeing this giant of a man fall prey like all the rest of us will do at some point?
It was very hard to watch. I'm going to try to hold it together. It was very hard to watch, but I wouldn't trade it because, honestly, it was a very beautiful thing. He, you had said earlier before we started that he just kind of accepted things in life, and he was the same way. He did it gracefully, and it was really a beautiful thing, and I'm happy that I was the one that was there.
Well, he showed me more about him as a man in the last portion of his life than he did when he was governor, because he was sent away at age 75, a 10-year sentence, and that was intended to be a death sentence. But instead, he served his time, he outlived most of his enemies, And he gets out, he marries you, and you have this child, Eli, who's now 8 years old. And that's just not the customary exit for somebody who's sent to jail at 75 for 10 years.
He never did anything the way customary people did things. So everything he did was exceptional. And we have a wonderful son.
Is he a lot like him? Can you see his daddy in him?
He is. He's very patient. He's kind of the same way. He just takes whatever comes at him. He's very easygoing and opposite of me, so he must get that from his dad.
Yeah. Well, there's an election. That's what I was trying to think of. In 2043, there will be a governor's election.
Yeah.
2043. How old will Eli be then? He was born in...
He was born in 13.
13, so he'll be eligible.
Yeah.
He'll be 30 years old. And the former governor, the late Edwin Washington Edwards, said EWE in 43.
Yes.
So who knows? Sometimes things happen. Jerry Brown, who was a dear friend of Edwin Edwards, he became governor after his father in California is having in other places. But right now, I'm sure you're just trying to keep your family together. You have two sons who are grown.
They are.
From a previous marriage. And you can do the math. Trina is in her early 40s, but she has sons who are 24 and 22. That's unconventional, too, and 8.
Yes. There's a big break in between. I started over.
You started over, and your boys, the older ones, really like young Eli, don't they?
They do. They're very close.
Well, at the end, you were on with us, and I think you were putting on a brave face, but you could see it coming, couldn't you?
I could. I knew a week ahead of time, but he had been getting worse and worse for the last probably year. And the last 6 months, he was in a wheelchair and he was having a lot of problems with mobility and getting around.
He still got out to Chris's Steakhouse every now and then, didn't he?
He did. We went out every day, actually. I'd get him up in the mornings and we'd go to lunch at least. And so just to get him up and get out of the house. But it was difficult for both of us, but especially for him.
I don't know of anybody who enjoyed life more than he. He savored every moment, and he took it as it came, the good and the bad. And as far as that respect of his life, I think he was certainly an admirable man and somebody we should emulate. But you read in the book, he had his ups and downs. He was married 3 times. Your relationship happened at a later point in his life, but he appeared to be rather content.
I hope so. I hope he was more than content. I think he was happy.
He's happy.
Yeah.
Happy. Yeah. But politicians by nature are restless, always looking for the next mountain to climb. By this point in his life, he did run for Congress in 2014. I don't think he really thought he was going to win, but he gave it a good shot. And if he had been in a differently configured district, it would have been a much closer race. He did make a runoff. But even with that, he accepted the defeat.
Yeah.
He didn't go crying and hiding out and not seeing people. He was out there the next day saying, thanks for your support and good luck to Congressman Graves.
Yeah, who's a very good friend of his, too. And he's been very good to us.
But on the trail, they hit each other pretty hard.
They did, and I don't think that I really understood that. I took it personally because that is not something that I was really used to. But I don't think that they did hit each other hard, but I don't think it was out of malice. I think that's just part of it. They were always good friends, even through all that.
Well, I could see them together. They enjoyed each other's company. And of course, I know Congressman Graves is honored to be the guy who took down
Goliath.
Sure.
And I voted for him the second time.
So. You did?
Yeah. Not the first time, but I did the second.
But of course, now he's had what amounts to token opposition. But he has commented that he didn't really want to debate Edwin Edwards. Ultimately, he did do one debate with him, but he said he was terrified because he was going against the master. And he survived and he won. And he said nice things about former Governor Edwards. And that's where the way it ought to be in Washington. Unfortunately, it's not. These people are fighting with each other day and night, and it's largely political. But Edwin Edwards, he was a true Democrat, but he noted that you're a Republican, right?
I have since changed my registration.
And you are now
I am a Democrat.
You are a Democrat.
Yes, I am.
So you have switched parties. What prompted that?
I think Trump probably prompted it.
Really? Yes. Really?
I would have done it a long time ago, but he didn't want me to. He said it would mess up his jokes about he finally found something to do with a Republican.
Sleep with him.
So, yeah. So once he gave up speeches and all of that, I went ahead and changed.
Well, Edwin Edwards said on this show, and I'm sure he was telling the truth, he said on Trump's 50th birthday in 1996 that Edwin Edwards spent the night with Donald Trump on Trump's yacht. Is that right?
I have not heard that story, but if he told you that, then it's probably true.
I believe it. And of course, Trump at that time was trying to get into the gambling aspects of Louisiana, and he probably thought that Edwin Edwards could be a benefit to him. That was right when he left office. But it was Donald Trump who got you to become a Democrat.
Yes, it is.
And in Louisiana, especially in Ascension Parish where you live, most people are Trump supporters.
Yes, unfortunately they are. That's okay. To each his own.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about some major new developments. And with Edwin Edwards, the headlines continue after his death. 877-217-5757 for Trina Edwards on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Our guest is Trina Edwards, the widow of former Governor Edwin Washington Edwards. He died on July the 12th, 2021. So we do the math on it. That's 60 days ago. So it has not been that long. Actually, a little longer than that. It's more like 90 days. But it has been a short time, and so it's pretty raw for Trina. And she, in her last conversation with us before his death, noted that you have grandchildren who are
older than me, actually.
Well, yes, yeah. Grandchildren who are older than you. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to blend into any family when you're on the outside. But in your case, there's this huge age gap. And it was noted in the, and a listener notes this, in the reality show, The Good Wife, or the Governor's Wife, The Governor's Wife. You had some challenges, didn't you?
I did, but I think every family has challenges. For the most part, we all got along well.
What happened at the funeral? You had this all day long. He was available for public viewing, open casket.
Yes.
As he would have, I'm sure, wanted.
Yes. We had a lot of talk about it. I know a lot of people think that maybe I didn't honor his wishes, but it's mostly people that didn't actually know him or ever even talk about what his wishes were. We had a lot of conversation about it. Leading up to it, we knew that eventually that would come. And so I did allow the public to have him at the Capitol the day before the funeral, and also the procession was obviously public. But the funeral was closed, which I know a lot of people were upset about. But honestly, we have a small child. I was really struggling with it. I just didn't want a personal display of grief. I wanted my child to be able to grieve privately. I wanted to be able to grieve privately. And I just felt like really it was what I needed. And he would have been okay with that.
Well, he was very supportive of you as you were to him. In that last decade. And at what point when you were meeting with him did you know that there was more than a friendship here?
Well, he told me he loved me the second visiting day.
Did he?
So I went the first day, and I think it was on a Saturday, I guess, and then he asked if I would come back the next day, which I did. And he told me that day that he was going to marry me. And I said, no way, not going to happen. It took me a long time to...
Mm-hmm. How did your family react to this?
My family is very supportive of me. They always have been. I'm very blessed with a very supportive family and a group of friends as well. So they never really had any problems with it. They've always just kind of looked at it like, if I'm happy, then that's all that matters.
He did have a reputation as a ladies' man.
He did.
Did that in any way give you pause?
Maybe in the beginning, but no, it didn't. I'm not really a jealous type of person anyway, so I think it was, we would talk and joke about it a lot, but I never really was bothered by that very much.
Well, it appeared that at the end of his life, you were almost inseparable. You were usually seen together and went places all over town. As you say, you had lunch out, usually out at a restaurant every day, didn't
you? Yes, we did. Really, our whole marriage, we were together most of the time. We did everything together.
And not many marriages can withstand that.
No, no.
You enjoyed his company, and he enjoyed yours.
I did. We had a lot of fun.
And he went to public events, and he was still the governor. In some people's minds, he'll always be the governor. He got along very well with the current governor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, John Bel Edwards is not related to Edwin Edwards. Maybe Edwin said they're distant cousins, but I think that was part of the
there's no relation.
But John Bel Edwards was born in 1966, so he's almost 40 years younger than Edwin Washington Edwards, but he took the wisdom that Edwin could provide, and I don't think anybody knew more about politics than he. And Edwin fully noted that he was born in 1927 when we had the Great Louisiana Flood, and by the way, the guy who wrote the book about it, John Berry, is with us tomorrow. But he was also born a year before Huey Long became governor of Louisiana, and he had at times expressed a desire to be buried next to the Kingfish, and he is the longest-serving governor, and if he had not gone to prison, that probably would have happened. Now there's a development that we're about to hear about. Edwin's back home, his ashes are, but is there any prospect at all that at some point we might see him at the Capitol buried there with the Kingfish?
I would definitely like to see that happen, and I know that would be what he would have wanted to. So, yes, we are trying to do something about that.
Okay. Now, you did bury him here in Baton Rouge, but it didn't work out as you anticipated, and ultimately you had him exhumed and cremated. When did that happen, Trina?
That about, I guess it was a little more than two weeks ago, not this past Tuesday, but the Tuesday before.
And what was the thought process in doing that?
Well, originally he had a plot at Rest Haven, which is where he was going to be buried, and a lot of things happened, and I was not allowed to bury him there. So I had to make a very last-minute decision, and I knew that eventually I was probably going to have him moved somewhere else. So I just chose the easiest, most available place, which I wasn't happy with afterwards. I realized soon after that that was a mistake. I was in a really bad place when I made the decision, and so I probably wasn't thinking clearly. And I just couldn't sleep at night. I would go out there and I would try to walk out to the gravesite, and I just couldn't make myself get out of the car. I just hated it. And so I just decided that I wanted to bring him back home. And so that's what I did.
Is there comfort in having him there?
I felt a relief the second they brought him back. Yeah.
Now, as you know, some people are people, and sometimes they're vicious and mean, and, some people, I think, who are vicious and mean have taken this opportunity to express their dismay at you. Are you handling that well, or is that tough?
It was tough for a few minutes, and then I realized that I was not going to allow myself to go into that direction. Mm-hmm. It was my decision to make. I made it. I'm comfortable with it. And no matter what I would have done, those specific people would have taken issue. They took issue where I buried him. They took issue with pretty much every decision I made. And you know what? They're allowed to do that. But I'm allowed to make the decision that's best for me.
You are. You're his widow. You have every right to do what you did. But I'm getting the impression, Trina, that you say there might be another move for him at some point.
Yes, there will be.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure
right
where
now,
that's going
right
to be.
Now, but
right
with
now,
you,
he's with me.
You in the house. Barry in Mid-City. Barry, you're on Talk Louisiana. You're on with Trina Edwards. Hi, Barry.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Hello. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, great. I wanted to express first my condolences.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. And I also wondered if the governor ever shared with you in the race against David Duke, how much the Jewish community coalesced along with many other communities in order to help defeat Duke.
Yes, he did. And he was always very proud of that and yeah. very grateful.
And that was 30 years ago this year, November 16th, 1991, when Edwin Edwards got 61% of the votes against David Ernest Duke. Mike in Villa Del Rey. Mike, you're on with Trina. Good morning, Mike.
Yes, good morning. I'd just like to say that my encounters with the governor, he was always generous with his time for, you know, just a regular schmuck like me. And I was over, I had to take a trip over to his last campaign headquarters, which Mrs. Trina was there, Eli was there, and the governor. And Trina wanted to take a picture of me and the governor. I asked for a picture, and I said, no, policy against taking pictures with politicians, but.
All right. Well, a lot of people wanted their photos taken with Edwin Edwards right to the very end. Autographs, the whole deal. He was very gracious about that, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He loved it, too.
877-217-5757. Another segment with Trina Edwards after this timeout. This is Jim Easter. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Edwin Washington Edwards, the giant of Louisiana politicos like no other, died 13 weeks ago today. It was 91 days, 13 weeks in the overall scheme of life. That's not a long time. After all, he lived to be almost 94 years old. And for most of the last 12 years of his life, at his side every day was Trina Edwards, his widow, who is with us, who is all of 43 years old. So when you met him, you were like 31, 31 years old, and he was, I guess, 82,
yes.
82 years old. So, but he still had that magic. What do you remember most about him as a man?
He was kind, and he was just so genuine with it too.
But even at 82 or 92, he still had that charisma. When he walked in a room, people felt it.
He did. And I saw that, but I also saw a different side. That was more like a persona to me. Even when people would say, at like Governor Edwards, it was almost like it's a different person than who I knew.
He was naturally funny.
He was very
naturally funny. Nobody quicker. He could have been a stand-up comic. He could have done a lot of things, but he was as quick with his lips as Muhammad Ali was with his lips and his fists. He was. You couldn't joust with him and expect to win because he always had a comeback.
Yes, he did.
He was an amazing person in that respect. What were his last words?
He said, "I love you," to Eli, which I videoed. Something that really is special to me.
Well, someday maybe it'll be available. You've been very gracious in making things available to the public at large, and I think it was unfair to criticize you for having a private funeral. That was your call, and there was a public viewing. And a lot of years have passed, and Edwin Edwards, I found that people, when they lived to be a certain age, like my dear friend Gus Weil, made it to 85. He outlived many of his contemporaries. And when you do that, you don't have all the people there. Most of the people that would be there are on the other side.
Yeah.
What do you think life's like for him on the other side? He had some doubts about what was coming next. Your thoughts about where he is.
Well, I hesitate to talk about those kind of things because people think you're crazy. But I think he's still here. Like, I feel him everywhere. He gives me signs every day. And he doesn't just do it to me. He does it in such a public way that, like, for instance, the day of his wake, something had happened, and it was just really bad for me. And I kind of was falling apart and having a hard time. And I was in Clay Shakesnyder's office, and it was Clay, his secretary, my mother, several of my friends, one of his grandchildren, and they were kind of trying to talk me off of a ledge. I was really upset, and I was crying, and they were just kind of all huddled around me. And then all of a sudden, on the wall, there was a television that had not been on the whole time we were there. It turned on, and it was at a spot in a debate with David Duke. And he was making a comment, and it was like he was talking directly to me. The whole room stopped. I mean, we just immediately stopped what we were doing and looked up and just watched in, like, disbelief. that that was happening. And so he's done that so many times over the last 3 months that it's hard for me to believe that he is not here watching. And
I was 8 when I lost my father, but I remember him well. And the people say, how? Well, when you're 8 and your father dies, you cling to the memories you have. And I suspect Eli will have a number of memories that he will keep for the rest of his days of his father. And it's very good that Edwin lasted until he was 8, because if he died when he was 4, it would have been a different story. But those last few years, I'm sure there's some really special memories.
Yeah, we talk about him all the time too. So
what does he say about his dad?
I don't think he really understands that it's permanent. He still talks about him like he's here. Or he'll say, you know, I remember when my dad used to take me bowling, or one day maybe when my dad comes back alive, he'll do this. So I don't think he really understands, but we talk about him like he's right there in another room.
And now you've got to raise him alone.
I do.
How is that prospect as you face it? My mother faced it, and she basically devoted the rest of her life to raising me. And at the time, I thought it was great, but now I realize she made a sacrifice she should not have made.
Well, I've raised my first two alone, too, so I'm definitely experienced with that. But I do not intend to raise him alone and devote my life to that. I love him, and I will do that, but I know I'm getting grief for it, but I'm young, I'm intelligent, I'm attractive, I have a whole lot of life to live, and I'm not going to do it at home crying all day every day. I intend to just really get out there and do everything that I want to do in life.
Do you think you will marry again?
Yes, I do.
It'll be tough for any guy to follow Edwin Edwards.
He's going to have to be a really amazing person, but he's out there. I can feel it.
Yeah? Yeah. Well, what qualities that he had that you saw would be something you would have to have from your next husband, if there is another husband to come?
I think the kindness and compassion. Once you've been in a relationship where someone treats you really well and you know what that feels like, you're less likely to accept anything less. So it would have to be someone that just really treats me well and loves me and is kind, not just to me, but to everybody around us.
He was pretty smart, too.
Very smart.
And that, to me, is the quality that I remember most about him, is how intellectual he was. He was a brilliant man. We've had some smart governors in Louisiana, and Edwin Edwards was as smart as any of them. He was as smart as Bobby Jindal. He wasn't a Rhodes Scholar, but he had a mind that was quick, and he didn't lose it. We know that now, as we know, people get dementia sometimes when they're in their 50s or 60s. He was 94 and almost 94, and every fiber of his intellect was still there.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was.
For those who say you're a gold digger, how do you respond to them?
That doesn't bother me at all. If I am, I'm really poor at it because I'm fixing to go back to work. But what people say doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. I know the truth, and I'm comfortable with myself, and I'm comfortable with who I am and what I am, and that's all that matters to me.
Where do you plan on working?
I have my real estate license. I put it on hold when Edwin got sick so that I could stay home and take care of him. But I'm going to go work for Jerry Del Rio.
I'm sure you'll do very well.
I hope
do you
so.
Like that sort of thing?
Yeah, I do. I get to deal with people a lot, and that's always fun for me.
Based on what I'm seeing and what I've seen over the last several years, you'd be a very good salesperson.
Yes.
And it doesn't hurt to be the widow of Edwin Edwards.
No, it doesn't.
But I'm afraid some people may be making appointments with you to find out about your life with Edwin Edwards and may not be as interested as they should be in what you're presenting. But you'll probably find a way to get around that,
That's
too.
That's fine, too. So I love to talk about myself. So if that's what they want, that's fine, too.
Yeah. So you grew up here in Baton Rouge.
I did.
And went to Broadmoor High School. And yes. And married very young.
I did.
And probably too young.
Not probably, definitely
too young. But you had two beautiful boys.
I did.
Any misgivings about getting in such a responsible position so early in life? You really didn't have much of a youth as a result of this.
I didn't. But I mean, it just means that I probably didn't make a lot of the mistakes other people made. So I don't regret that
and
at all.
One of the things about Edwin Edwards, and it may be a big reason why he lasted as long as he did not smoke and he did not drink.
That's true.
You don't.
Don't smoke, but I drink plenty.
You do? You do? At least you're honest about it. Yeah. He didn't drink at all, did he?
No, he didn't.
He didn't at all.
Never.
And he didn't mind that you did?
No. In fact, it was always a plus for me because I had a designated driver.
Edwin.
Yes. But I don't drink. I mean, I'm just a social drinker.
Well, as most people in Louisiana are, that's something we tend to do and do a lot. But as long as you have it under control, and as far as I know you do, that's okay. But this has been a tough 3 months, no doubt about it. And I suspect you're still processing everything. And then to have all these other factors, you're a public figure and have criticism about the way the funeral was done and criticism about bringing his body, his ashes home. That would affect anybody.
It does, but I've had such a tremendous amount of support on the opposite side of that, that I'm so grateful to everybody. And I know that there are people who are going to say bad things, but those people are going to say that no matter what I would have done, they would have found something to complain about. I can't live my life worried about what other people think or say or want for that matter. And that may sound selfish, but It was me. I'm his surviving widow. It was my right to do that, and I did exactly what I wanted to do, and I have no regrets about it.
But when family members get upset about it, that takes it to a new level, doesn't it?
I would not want to do anything to hurt his family, and I took them into consideration with everything that I did. But at the end of the day, it was me that was there every day taking care of him. Mm-hmm. It was me that was there the night that he died. It was me, and it was my decision to make, and I made the decision that was the best for myself and for Eli, which is all I can do.
You're a gallant person, and you did treat the governor well, and you did cause his life to be longer than it would have been without you. But what do you think his legacy should be based on what you know of him?
I don't know. A lot of people talk about legacy, and I guess I don't really understand that. I think he did a lot of amazing things. He was very caring. He was very compassionate. He helped a lot of people, including me. And so I hope that that's what people remember about him.
We're going to spend a few more minutes with Trina Edwards. 877-217-5757 is your number, and you're listening to Talk Louisiana. We'll be back after this quick pause with more from Trina Edwards. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We're spending a few more minutes with Trina Edwards, and quite possibly we will have to hold Mike Shepherd for another day, the head of the Louisiana Music Hall of Fame, but hopefully we will hear from him soon. 877-217-5757. Dr. Joe Abraham on I-10. Dr. Abraham, you're on with Trina Edwards. Good morning to you.
Good morning, and good morning, Ms. Edwards, and my condolences. I have a quick question. It's an awkward question, but I suspect it's one that you would like to discuss. Obviously, Edwin had a reputation for, corruption. There's a word for it. He went to jail. But at the same time, even his enemies said his word was gold. He did what he said he would do. And I remember one time Kathleen Blanco telling me that for all the hoopla around his administration, he cared deeply about people. And when he could do the right thing, when he could politically do it, he would do the right thing. And so I'd like to hear you discuss, if you would, that contradiction.
Well, I was not around during that time, obviously, so I didn't experience it. The only experience I have with him is that he was always very, very honest. And he did, I've never known a time when he didn't do what was right.
Well, he was a man known for trying to live by his word.
Yes.
And when he couldn't, as a politician, and sometimes politicians have to change their minds, he would tell the other person why.
Yeah.
he would not just pretend that he didn't give his word. I think that was why he was such a good politician and why his enemies, they liked him. They may not have liked his politics, but they liked him because he was a person who had a certain framework that he worked in, and it worked very well for him. And others, of course, embraced him as a result of that. And that's how leaders lead, is that they get people to do things sometimes they don't want to do because they believe in the person who is asking it. Let's go to Marie in Opelousas. Marie, good morning. You're on with Trina Edwards. Hi, Marie.
Good morning. Good morning. I want to give my sympathies to Ms. Edwards. I absolutely love Governor Edwards. The first time I ever voted for a governor in Louisiana, I voted for Governor Edwards. He came and spoke at Southern's graduation when I graduated, and it was just an honor. He was my dad's favorite governor.
Thank you.
And I know he did a lot for minorities and for poor people. And I wanted to ask you, what do you think he was most proud of as governor? What was the thing that he did that he was most proud of?
Well, he always said it was the changing of the Constitution was what he was most proud of. But I think he did take great pride in the fact that he did. I think he was, and Jim Engster can probably correct me if I'm wrong, but he was the first governor that appointed people of color to positions of power. And he was very proud of that.
Yeah. McKithen had some, but Edwards, of course, did it at a level that others had not before or since. And he knew that people of color helped him get to the dance, too. As we know, in Louisiana, David Duke got a majority of the white vote in 1991. But Edwin Edwards won by 22 points because he got almost all of the African-American vote. And he knew fully well that black people were his base. And there's nothing wrong with being kind to your base. As a politician, you'd be pretty stupid if you didn't. But he commented on this show many years ago that when he was a kid, he was affected by race. When he would see the school bus just pass black kids up, as he was riding to school, they were walking, he knew instinctively that that was wrong.
Yeah, he was a very fair person, and he believed that everybody should be treated the same.
And if that is a liberal, then God bless liberals. He was open to all kinds of people.
Yes.
He didn't judge people whether they were black or gay or transsexual. He just took people as they were. And he was an amazing person in that respect because he was born in 1927. He had ideas that were ahead of his time in that regard.
And he was like that behind closed doors as well. That's just how he was as a person.
Now, I know he kept a few grievances, and who wouldn't? But for the most part, he didn't dwell on them.
No.
He did not obsess about people who had done him wrong. And that may be why he lived to be almost 94, because that'll eat you like nothing else.
Yes. And from what I know about him, he also never tried to retaliate either.
Craig in Natchitoches. Craig, you're on with Trina Edwards. Good morning, Craig.
Yeah, good morning to you, Jim, and to Trina. Trina, I have one question for you. Have you considered getting into politics yourself?
No, I would be the worst politician. He was the greatest, and I would be the worst.
Why would you be the worst?
I do not have the heart for that.
Well, you were commenting how it was tough battle in 2014 with Edwin and Garrett Graves. And there were others in that race who took a beating too, like poor Paul Dietzel. I mean,
yes.
That kid, he got slammed unfairly and he was collateral damage. Yeah. And that's the way it is in politics, unfortunately. And it's getting worse, not better.
Yes. And I would hate to have to be surrounded by that all the time.
Well, what about more women in politics, though? We definitely need more women.
We do, but I am just not the woman for that job.
Not the woman. But
I'll volunteer for her campaign, but that's as far as I'm going.
Well, what did Edwin Edwards say? But you said that Donald Trump made you a Democrat. What did he say about him? Was he displeased with the way he was leading the country?
Yes, I think he was. I hate to speak for him. Mostly because he would do it so much better than I can, but neither one of us were Trump supporters.
Collectively, you ended up thinking quite a lot about the former president. What was the general disagreement as far as how he was directing the country?
Well, politically is a whole different subject, but personally, I just didn't like him. He was just not a nice person.
But as we know, he has this amazing following in Louisiana.
Yes, I'm aware.
And it is interesting that in Louisiana we like characters. Now, Edwin Edwards was no Donald Trump, but he was a character. And he won four times.
But he was a kind character.
He was a different kind of character.
Yes.
That's true. But flamboyant, there's
yes.
no doubt. And Trump is flamboyant. And of course, there's this possibility he may be coming back. But when people confronted Edwin Edwards in his final years in restaurants, did anybody ever give him a hard time?
I have never, in the 12 years that I've known him, seen anyone give him a hard time. Not, I mean, online, maybe, on the internet, but never in person. And nor has anyone ever given me a hard time in person.
Well, when some, and it happens, I'm sure it's happened to Eli, when some kid would bully him, what would Edwin say to Eli?
No one bullies Eli. Are you crazy? They better not either.
Does he ever get in any kind of scrapes?
No, he is the most well-behaved, polite, respectful child that I've ever seen. And I think anyone who's ever met him would agree. He's a very sweet child.
He's a good kid.
Yes.
And that's a testament to you and to his father, no doubt about it. But he will, of course, evolve into a man. What do you see for him?
I want him to be happy, and that's the only thing I want. I don't want to pressure him to go in any direction. I would rather just sit back and let him go in whatever direction he chooses. I secretly hope it's not politics, though.
Do you have any indication on what direction that might be?
He wants to be a garbage man 1 week. Sometimes he wants to be a school bus driver. Sometimes he wants to grow up and be a dog. So I really don't know. He hasn't decided yet.
He's 8 years old. Is he a good student?
He's a very good student. Yep. A lot of people don't know, but he's on the spectrum. So he goes to Dunham. They have a really excellent.
He's autistic?
Yes. They have a really excellent program there. So he does really well. He's very, very intelligent. Most of his issues are sensory. So you probably wouldn't notice if you met him. But I think because of that, he's extra polite. Like, he likes to follow the rules. He likes to be respectful and use manners. And
is he athletic?
No, he is not. He is very clumsy, poor thing.
Is he?
Yes. I do not see any sports in his future, but who knows? Maybe it'll change.
Well, he comes from good stock, there's no doubt, and he has a name, and he has the same initials as his father. What was the decision on how he became Eli Wallace Edwards?
I wanted to name him a junior, but Edwin didn't want that. He said he would spend his whole life either trying to live up to the name or get from underneath it. So I said as long as he had the initials, he could name him what he wanted. So he named him Eli Wallace. Wallace is after his grandfather.
And Eli?
Eli is just, I said it had to be an E name, so that's what he came up with.
Well, I remember Three Dog Night. Eli's coming.
Yes, I get that a lot.
Hide your heart, girl. Well, he seems to be a young man who we'll hear from in the years to come, as we will you. You're not even, I don't think, halfway to the finish line, so there are a lot of years, and you're fully aware that you may very well marry and
I intend
maybe
to live a very full life.
Other children?
No, I will not have any.
No more
kids. No,
that's
cannot
it.
Have
that's
any
it.
More of those.
But, so three's enough.
Three's
three
plenty.
Boys.
Yes.
Three boys.
You're I good. Wanted a girl, which is the reason I came up with Eli.
Yeah. Well,
it but was, it didn't work he was, out. He was I wouldn't trade
to,
him.
He was meant to be Eli.
Yes.
And I'm glad that he's very close to Logan and Trevor, your other boys.
Yes, he is.
And I suppose at some point you'll be a grandmother.
I hope so.
I mean, a grandmother biologically. You're already a grandmother many
yes,
times over,
yeah.
right? How many grandchildren do you have?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. It's a lot. We stopped counting.
Well, we thank you for joining us. And I know this is a very personal matter. And you took good care of the former governor for 12 years. And hats off to you. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Trina Edwards. And we'll be back tomorrow. And we'll hear from John Berry, the author of Rising Tide. Should be interesting. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support for Talk Louisiana. Stay safe and stay tuned.